New Year's Eve, I'm going to begin a study on stress, anxiety, and depression, being who we are in Christ. That will take care of 2 hours on New Year's Eve. I'm dealing on when and where to teach that on Sunday morning or Tuesday night or Wednesday night. We just started the book of Revelation, and I don't want to interrupt that at this point. Lay that off for a while, for a couple of months. And so I want to show you tonight why it's very most befitting to be on Wednesday night. And I'm not just manipulating. I will show you and hear what we're doing on why that study becomes so important, and that will probably be here. My only hesitance of that is that, and I think the only one that's kind of really, to the extent that I do, to me this is just so essential, a study of spiritual love. I don't know of anything else that I teach more important than this, outside of how to be filled with the Spirit, but that's not the momentum of what my teaching is about. It's about loving as Christ loved. And understanding there's so many problems in marriages and relationships in the body of Christ, and the inability to forgive, the inability to know how to function with regard to one another, and spiritual love more than anything I teach is where that is. So we'll probably do it on Wednesday night, and let's take a look at why. But first of all, let's have a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that He can open our eyes, that we can see the drama and the intensity of things that are in Scripture and how they apply to our personal lives daily. Revelation to me, dealing with things that are going to happen in prophecy, outside of the extent of their impact in our life, to give us encouragement to walk by faith and never be in fear that God is in total control. But a family is having trouble, husband and wife, or man and a woman, or friends, local assembly, work, anywhere that involves Christians, they're not going to sit there and talk about prophecy during the midst of their troubled relationships. If they do any talking at all in the spiritual realm, it will not be about prophecy. And right in the middle of a husband-wife, well, let's talk about the dragon, or let's talk about what's going to happen in the fifth seal. I don't think that's going to happen in a tense relationship problem.
No,
yes.
Comment.
Yeah.
Well, one thing is that we've got like, 8 or 10 years on it before they catch up to where we're at today. And so you can go back to it when you get done.
Oh, I will. I'll go back. Oh, I'll always.
I'll never catch up.
No, no. No one will then. Because I'm continuing going on. I'm continuing to go on. And, you know, when they, I'm at the funeral home, I'll raise up and say, one more point on spiritual love! Because I'm popping now! One more thing on time, this is miserable. I close the podcast now. Put that on back in there. Oh, but it is so vital. It's the mark of the Christian to love as Christ loved. But first of all, let's spend a moment or two in prayer. Anything then we need to come together and bow in prayer. I encourage you to be in prayer for the teenagers in New Hampshire. I talked with some of the people last night, and we're going to take, and I know we're hard-pressed, but when we run out of money, we're going to run out of money, and that's that. But we're going to send them $200. It won't be monthly. I wish it could be $500 a month after being there and seeing what this family is doing, this couple. But we're going to send them $200 for their New Year's Eve. They're going to have a New Year's Eve thing for these kids. And they're expecting over 100 kids. And people, again, this isn't related to church. This isn't related to organization. This is just a man and his wife who are ministering, and by word of mouth, these kids feel so good coming there in this little town of Deary, New Hampshire. Not even a big metroplex there. It's just a small little town, and over 100 kids going to be there. Powerful what they're doing. So please be in prayer for them. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see tonight. See as a teacher. Empowering each of us here tonight, Father, as we come together in like-mindedness in the power of your Spirit to have our eyes open to see things that you would have us to see. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will protect us from the powers of darkness. There's one thing that Satan hates above all things, Heavenly Father, it's your love. He hates your love. For it was a demonstration of your love that defeated him at the cross. It is your love manifested by the Christian in the spiritual life that reveals the glory of Christ, therefore your glory in his kingdom of darkness. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you just protect us from those powers and cause us to be receptive to what he would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In our discussion so far, and I've given you this little excerpt, Sunday's another one that I worked on the week in New Hampshire and coming back. Be who you are in Christ, and the stress, the anxiety, the depression. Again, I'm personally taken with the number of people that are under this type of a thing, and the response that I've had by email, phones, letters, conversations in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression in the Christian life. And when we first started this, getting into what we're going to do tonight, the first started this, we saw, and we'll do this in our study in a very organized manner, and go to the passages and study the passages in a little more detail. But we want to begin with the fact that there are two natures inside of every one of us. There is the old flesh, the old man, called the old man, it's called the flesh, it's called the carnal nature, these types of things. And then there is the new spiritual creation, 2 Corinthians, the new spiritual creation, chapter 5, that we are in Christ. It is called the new man. And so we have various designations for the other person in us. And as we saw Sunday, what all of this is finally going to come down to is making a choice of which way you're going to go into this, because there is a whole thought process. There's a whole thought process of the old man, and there's a thought process of the new man, and therefore you have such passages that we'll be looking at in an organized manner, as Proverbs chapter 23, whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. So if your thinking is in the realm of the old man, then that's who you are at that given time in your life. If your thinking is in the new man, then that will be your who you are at that given time. Of course, there's a power source of each one in each of these, and that will be very important. We spent some time on talking about the old man. We spent some time on talking about our flesh nature. We have seen the whole order here, but we have seen that it is continually being corrupted in Ephesians, so that no matter how hard a psychologist, therapist, counselor tries to make you a better person, it's a losing battle, because it's like a sinking boat and the water's just coming in, and you got a teaspoon and you're putting it out as fast as you can, a little teaspoon of water. And that's what happens if we try to correct all the problems of the old man, make you a better person. I cannot make you a better person. God isn't going to make you a better person. He gave us a new being. this is being continually corrupted. We've seen that it's insane. And we'll spend some time with that because that's very important. In fact, it's important to what we're doing tonight. It's insane. It is the Hebrew expression, incurably wounded. It was wounded in the garden. It is incurably wounded, so it is never going to be healed. Even by God, it is going to be dropped at the point of our death, and at the resurrection, it doesn't go with us. So it is incurably wounded. It is deceitful. And there are a lot of things that we're studying in this regard as opposed to who we are in Christ. And so what we want to do is to move in our life, living in our life day in and day out. And there are many passages that deal with this. Look at Colossians 3 just for a preview and looking ahead. All of these kind of things that I've been doing, I'm not going to take away anything because we got to do it in an order. And don't ask me what that order is going to be. I have no idea. But that's the amazing thing to me. The number of passages and verses and things that I have found in Scripture, it's almost like it's all the way through. It's what the Bible is about. Let's see. For example, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. You know, I could just take that one verse and almost build the entire study and spend too much time. And that's going to be one of my things that I don't want to spend a great deal of time. I want to give the concepts and move right on. But many people who experience depression or stress and anxiety and depression, let me assure you, it doesn't come from being occupied and setting your mind on things that are above. Because anytime we experience stress in our lives, and then it moves into anxiety, and it moves into depression, you just know one thing, you set your mind on the things of the flesh, or the things of the earth, and that's going to happen when you do that. Because you set your mind on the things that are eternal, they give you peace, and hope, and comfort. So this becomes very important, and this verse alone is just, it is packed with so many things, but setting your mind. Hi there, come on in. We are taking a look at Colossians chapter 3, kind of looking and getting ourselves geared to our study, and also our preview of what we're going to do on New Year's Eve and start a class after New Year's Eve. We'll do it New Year's Eve, two classes. New Year's Eve, what we do is we meet at 9, and we go from 9 to 10, and then we have a fellowship break from 10 to 11, and then we come back in and continue studying, and then somewhere at about a quarter to midnight, we start communion, and everything is flows correctly. Like just about the striking of the hour, we are taking the cup of the new covenant. So we usher out the old year and usher in the new year, just celebrating the new covenant, celebrating who we are in Christ, and that will be our study that night. So, verse 2. So set your mind, Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, and we'll take a look on how you set them, but that's what we looked at Sunday morning in those four steps that I gave you Sunday morning, and being able to, first of all, listen. What we're going to call this, and this isn't mine, this is a borrowed term, but we're going to look at self-talk. So start getting used to that expression. It won't come up for a while, but we're look at self-talk. And self-talk involves a number of things, but it involves observing yourself. And we do this a lot, and I've dealt with this before. Does what you're saying to your husband and wife, does that sound like spiritual love? A chair flying across the room, does that look like spiritual love? What you're doing, does that look like, sound like spiritual love? Well, we're going to perfect that. We're going to work on that of observing yourself, observing, first of all and foremost, your thoughts. What are these thoughts that I'm having? And then words that you're saying, and then, of course, actions. And What I want you to realize, and we didn't deal with this Sunday morning, but we will to some degree in our study, people, for you, every one of you are Christians, and that's my discussion is toward Christians. This is a habit. It's a habit. That's all this is. You've been doing this all your life. It's the only thing you did before you accepted Christ as Savior. And with most of us, even as Christians, this is habit. All we want to do is make a new habit. We want to break an old habit and want to bring in a new habit. Stress, anxiety, and depression is a choice. And people are going to argue with me on that, but we choose. A person who is stressed, anxiety, and depression, you choose to do so. Now, it may sound good to say, look what you're doing to me. You're causing me to get high. You're causing me to breathe heavy. You're causing me to fall apart. You're causing your mother. Look what you're doing to your mother. Look what you're doing. It's your fault that this is happening to me. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You have chosen how you're going to handle whatever's going on. And generally, it's a habit. However you handle it. You go back, if you go into the old man, the natural man, if you go into the natural man, this is the way you're going to handle it. And different people, we'll talk about different people. My primary study will be stress, anxiety, and depression, but there are other people who do other things. So this is the way you naturally do it. So we're going to have self-talk, and self-talk involves listening. It means to listen to yourself. Listen to the way you're thinking. Pay attention to yourself. Get a habit. Set your mind on the things that are above. People, that's a habit. That isn't going to happen naturally. That is not going to happen naturally. Your natural flesh is against that. We're not used to doing that. So it's something that is going to have to become a habit. Just like this has been a long habit. So we're going to learn to listen. Wait a minute. Boy, I'm thinking the earthly things. I'm thinking things related to the flesh. I'm thinking things related to the earth. So we listen to ourselves. And as surprising as this is going to sound, and I said it's Sunday and it confuses people, so I see this on a 14-year-old. We talked about an hour and a half, had a ball, and made through it. I learned a lot. Even though I was there to teach, I learned a lot. But then we got to stop listening. Stop listening to yourself. And talking to the 14-year-old, came across with this example. What I'm going to use is, since our generation, we're so attuned to clickers and on TV. Okay. Pay attention to what you're watching on TV. Okay. I don't want that. I don't want to listen to this. I don't want that program. I don't want what they're doing there in my mind and my soul. I don't want that. So, first of all, you listen to what you're thinking. That's like watching the TV, watching the channel, listening to it. And you hear what you're saying. You hear what you're thinking, at least. Hear what you're saying. Hear what you're doing. And then you decide, I don't want that. Don't want that. So you stop listening to the flesh self. Now comes the big deal. You make then a decision. You make a decision to start thinking in the new man. So it's like on the channel. Okay, you click off what you're thinking in the flesh. So you click on to setting your mind on who you are in Jesus Christ. And you might as well get used if you want to take notes. This is a quick way to abbreviate it. Who you are in Jesus Christ. And that means if I want to be who I am in Christ, that means I'm going to have to walk by faith. So I'm going to start trusting in the Holy Spirit, setting my mind on the things above, setting my mind on the things that God is doing. People, I'm here to tell you, And I thought this through and read and studied. Midnight. You can live a life without stress. I know that sounds impossible. It can be done. I'll put the word theoretically if you wish, because theoretically we cannot sin, but we all are going to sin. But I want you to realize when there's stress and anxiety and depression in your soul, in your mind, in your life, and in your body, because it does affect the body, you've chosen that. You have chosen that mindset. And the reason you've chosen that is because you want to be back into control. Circumstances are such that you're not in control, so stress, anxiety, depression set in so that you can get back into control. That's what you're doing. And there's so many different ways that we can do it. I read last night on those humorous Christmas carols, and we read The Compulsive Person. And everybody laughed and everything. And when I read it, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle Bell, oh, a whole lot, about 8 lines. I didn't read them all. Over and over and over. Now, they do all kinds of things. It may be nothing more than just tongue of your fingers over and over and over. Why do they do these things? They're back into control. They're now in control. It's a futile attempt to be in control, to be secure. That's how they're going to handle that. So all of these things that we're going to study deal with being in control and the security and all these things. But what we're going to see is that's a choice. You make a choice to be depressed. It's not anybody's fault. Now, I will spend a little bit of time, just a little bit of time. And I'm only going to do that to satisfy my critics. That doesn't justify what the other person does. It does not justify what the other person does. It's not their fault that you went into stress and depression. What they did, let's just say, was wrong. It hurt you. But how you have chosen to handle that is your area of life. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? Because I'm not justifying the other person when I say, you should not, we don't have to go into stress, anxiety, and depression, anger, fear, worry, all these things. Don't have to do that. We choose. Our children get into trouble at school. We choose to fall apart. Husband and wife have problems. We choose to fall apart. We choose to be stressful. We choose to come under anxiety. We choose to go into depression. That's our choice. We could have just as easily, the moment we got the news or whatever it was in the relationship or the children or whatever, we could have self-talked our way, gone through these, going over into who you are in Christ, handled it in the power of the Spirit just as easily. But we developed a habit. We developed a habit. So there are two people that I'm not going to do much talking about that are very important to this study. One, the person, persons or circumstances that caused you the stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm not going to talk about them. Yes, they were wrong. It's like our study on one another. You remember that study? We studied how we all know there are things we're not supposed to do to each other. We're not supposed to lie and steal, for example. But what does the Bible say to do when someone does lie and steal? What most Christians do is say, that gives me the right to go to law. That gives me the right to handle you by law if you do that to me. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So we know that this person is wrong, let's say, that's caused you distress, anxiety, and depression, or that has brought this into you. But it's not their fault. You could have just as quickly handled this in the new man that you are. You could have just as quickly, we could have just as quickly gone into the power of the Spirit. We made a choice to stay in our old habit, to stay here. The other group that I will just spend almost just mentioning, because I will not present myself, I will not say anything that I have no business saying in the medical profession. There are people who have need of medical help. I'll put those over there. That is not my dealing. I'm dealing with those Christians who may have taken themselves to the point they need medical help. But it wasn't because of some hormone or something inside of their body not working correctly. They just didn't handle life in the spiritual realm. And so suffering, stress, anxiety, and depression.
You're going to include hormones in there?
That's what I said. I'm not getting into that. I'm not getting into that. I'm not going to get into that because it's not the spiritual that I'm dealing with. If somebody needs Prozac and they need medicine and they need all that stuff, that's between them and the doctor. But for those of us who know what I'm talking about, the stress and anxiety and the depression, and we know it came because just these things occurring or not occurring in my life. And I know what it's about. It's not about my physical body makeup. It's a tremendous card. I'm going to have to clean it up, but tremendous card on the rack. I was doing my car wash and had this lady on there and it said, my doctor said there's no such thing as PMS, that it was just a figment of my imagination. So you opened it up and said, so I just shot him. So I don't want anybody to excuse me. So I'm going to leave all of that over there and deal with the spiritual. So we have to make a decision to go over here. And that's what the verses like this that people, what's so amazing to me is, Bible, filled with them. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. So we get some kind of news, get some kind of financial problem, get something like this, get stressed out because of finance, get stressed out because of all this stuff, we set our mind on things of the earth. I'm sorry. Well, my objective is to make us strong in Christ and who you are. And to do that, we're going to become weak, and then we're going to become strong so we are in Christ, being who you are in Jesus Christ. So we're going to stop listening to the flesh self, and because all of this is related to the earth. And in verse 3, 4, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you have died. Okay. This person has died. Where and when did it die? At the cross. We have been crucified with Christ. The flesh self is dead. So if you want to talk about resurrection, we resurrect the flesh self every time we choose to go in the flesh. I think I'll just resurrect this old man that I'm very familiar with, feel very comfortable with. I'm just going to resurrect him. Just resurrect this natural man that I am that's been around with me ever since I was born. We made it through our early years together. We made it through life together until we heard about Jesus Christ. But he stuck with me even after I believed in Christ. He's a good old friend. And therefore, I choose to stay with him. I'm going to resurrect him rather than go over here to the new man that we are in Christ. Now, where does spiritual love fit into all of this? People, this is what's so beautiful in dealing with spiritual love. Where we are at this point, we're dealing with spiritual love recognizes self. Now, we had this outline before I even got into all of this. And I just love what where we were and how we were so on track. Spiritual love protects who you are. So it recognizes who you are in Christ. It recognizes the new man. Spiritual love does. It recognizes jealousy, envy, because we're in the midst of looking at how love is not jealous. Let's talk about jealousy. Let's talk about envy. Those are things that are related to the earth, aren't they? We're never jealous that anyone has eternal life. We have eternal life. We're not jealous that anyone is going to spend eternity with God. We're going to spend eternity with God. take all the things that are above. But you sit in the, no, there's no jealousy. When does jealousy arise? It arises when we think of the things of the earth. Things of the earth. We become jealous. Someone's prosperity. Someone's blessings. Someone's success in life. Someone's weight. Someone, the way he looks, someone looks. The way someone acts. Some, just a multitude of things, even in the spiritual realm. Jealous of their gift. Jealous of what God is doing in their life. So, always related to the earth. People, you go over here. You set your mind, you make the decision, you listen. Well, okay, I'm jealous. Say, I'm listening. I'm jealous. Okay, where does that come from? Comes from here. So I start talking to myself. Where does this come from? Comes from the self, from the flesh. So I'm in the flesh. Therefore, I'm going to stop listening to the flesh self. I'm not going to let it. I'm going to turn this channel off. And I'm going to start listening to who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm going to set my mind over here. So spiritual love kicks in. When we do that, watch how this works now. It's just one of those electrical immaterial things that go on in our brain and in our soul that, okay, now you're in the new man, and what spiritual love, how spiritual love comes in. Spiritual love recognizes who you are in Jesus Christ. Spiritual love causes you to be totally content with who you are in Jesus Christ, see? Now you're content with who you are in Christ. You don't need to be jealous. Okay? So this is what a spiritual love is going to do for us. You stop jealousy and envy by who you are in Christ, walking, renewing your mind, setting your mind in those things. So this is what it does for us. It frees us from the enslavement of the flesh. What does the Bible say? Now the Lord is the Spirit. Okay. The word now that you have seen who Christ is, now that you have believed in Jesus Christ, now that you're saved, now the Lord, your Lord, is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, in that sense, ruling, controlling, liberty. He sets you free, people, of all of this. The Holy Spirit will set you free of stress, set you free of anxiety, of depression. Why? Let's understand how this works, not just some frivolous sermon. Because he starts pouring in spiritual love. Spiritual love recognizes who you are in Jesus Christ. Spiritual love starts causing you to be totally content with who you are in Christ. It sets you free of all of the stuff of the old man, of the old flesh, and the way that the flesh handles things. It sets us free. So, spiritual love recognizes the real you, the real people. This is living in reality. Here is reality. This is reality. One thing we're going to have to go back and have some fun with, something I haven't dealt with for a long time, and we seem to have made some good progress with it, and that was, here is this triangle, and this is the sin triangle. And the sin triangle emphasizes the justice of God. It emphasizes the law. It emphasizes work, performance, man doing something. Then there is a triangle over here. Now we have a way that we got to here. This is the cross triangle. This emphasizes the love of God. It emphasizes grace, true grace, and faith. And we're going to be turning here a lot. Now, this is not reality. This is not reality. People, when you come under stress, anxiety, and depression, you're in the realm of the unreal world. You're not in reality. This is reality for the Christian. This is your reality. This is why the flesh is deceitful. It makes you think that this is reality. This is not reality. Most Christians live here, though. Occupied with sin, therefore I sin born. The justice of God is going to take care of me and get me and beat me and all of this stuff. And then I've got to do the law and I've got to do works and performance and all of this stuff. And this caters to stress, anxiety, depression. Caters to it. Anxiety, depression. The two, we're going to look at it. I'll be professional in the sense of what I say is true. I will not be professional in the way I bring it, and by that meaning, I mean, I'm not going to give you technical terms. But what we're dealing with are two sides of the same kind of coin here. Anxiety is where you put forth a great deal of energy, great deal of effort, and you perform and you work, and you just can't stop. Boy, you just got to be able to, and that wears down, and it can happen almost momentarily. Instantly, you go into total depression, you withdraw, you don't want to be around anybody, you don't want anybody around you, you don't want to do anything, you don't want to talk to anybody, you just want to stay hidden, as it were, depressed. So these are the two things that start, and all of this happens here. You become so depressed about your relationship with God, and how God is angry at you, and you can't do anything for God, or you become under anxiety, and you've got to do so much for God, and I've got to perform, and I've got to work, and I've got to do for God because of all of this. But if we just will move over here, whatever man thinks, so he is. So we move over here into who we really are, who we are in Christ. Look at the whole environment of your life, people. Environment of your life is God's love. You abide in Christ. You abide in His love. John 14. Abide in my love. Not in my justice, in my love. Grace is your vocabulary. Faith is your performance. It is testing. There's no place for stress, anxiety, and depression in the real world of who you are. In the real world of who you are in Christ. This is why we set our thinking to things above, to the eternal things. But it is just amazing. I backed into Sunday morning study. I just backed into it. I didn't mean for it to be anything more than one shot. And so much has happened since Sunday morning in dealing with money. How Philip looks at the problem. We got to feed 5,000 people. And his answer was very simple. There's not enough. There's not enough money. That's Philip's solution. Money. That's most Christian solution, especially in America. There's not enough money. If I had money, that would solve my problem. It would pay my bills. That would take off the stress. My wife and I then and our family would get along. Everything could be resolved by money. See, people, you're staying here. And if God really loved me, He would give me money, and that's what I'm praying to God to do to solve my problem. People, if everyone was in that circumstance, you wouldn't need God at all. You wouldn't need faith. I got money. That's why Scripture points out that it is more difficult for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God than the camel into the eye of the needle. Why is that? If I have money, I don't see my need. I can just take care of virtually everything on earth. I can take care of all my needs here on earth. Deceptive? An illusion? Absolutely. But let me just be funny, it's easy to live in that illusion. In fact, it's desirable to live in that illusion. But you're in control if you have enough money to handle everything. So now we've got to move out of this over to here. This is where we live, things above, where money doesn't purchase anything. Money doesn't purchase solution to problems. Money doesn't purchase peace. Money doesn't purchase love if you live in the real world of who you are. And we're going to discuss how stress, anxiety, and depression really related to money. And how money is just the flow of money through the Bible is just, it's another one of those journeys for this. I babbled like a fool. I stood up there several months ago and told Lester we're doing four lessons and sent it out in our little cell. And she laughed, she knew Ben. She's smart at it. but it was just amazing, this whole money thing that we did, this Sunday. And so I spent most of Monday and Tuesday, and just going through, and I'm just sitting there, where does this end? Where does this discussion on stress that Christians are experiencing, and anxiety, and depression, and anger, and hate, and worry? It's just all through the scriptures. It's a very, very simple solution. It's not complex. It's not complex. A lot of people are spiritually like a lot of people are in the medical world, and even in the non-medical world. But how many times something happens to your body, and what's the first thing that you say in your mind? I want the best. I want to get the best doctor. Now, I can't afford the best doctor, or I can. I can't afford the best doctor, so now I want to get the best doctor I can for my money. Because my problem, here's the deal, my problem demands the best. This ordinary person can't handle mine. Well, I've come to realize a lot of people are that way spiritually. I need the best Bible teacher. I need one who's complex and deep because my problems are complex and deep. I need a really great, complex pastor because I'm complex and deep. No, you don't, people. And I don't. Because his message is simple. And let's thank God for that. His message is simple. We don't need complexity. That's what got us distressed in the first place. That's what got us into the depression. We need simplicity. And he's given us simplicity. Set your mind. Yeah, click the clicker. Stop thinking in the flesh, start thinking in the spirit. Start letting my spirit pour in this life and live over here. You live over here in reality, in truth. Then those things just start going away. There's no place for them in this realm of reality. Here's reality for you. You live in the realm of reality. Or you live in the realm of the flesh. And what happens when you're over here? Spiritual love. Look what it does. It recognizes the real you in Christ. And then the spiritual love allows you to be content with yourself. People, what an unbelievable release from the performance of Satan's lie. Content with who you are in Jesus Christ. Just almost saying it, you can just start resting your shoulders. Content. I don't have to perform. I don't have to do. I'm not seeking others' approval. Remember Satan's lie. My self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. The Holy Spirit, spiritual love, sets you free of all of that. You don't need that. You are now content under spiritual love. And it's spiritual love that does this. Did you hear me? It's spiritual love that does this. Not this much knowledge. The reason I'm not content is because I don't have enough doctrine. I don't have enough knowledge. Wrong. The reason we're not content is that we do not have his love flowing through us. That's why. It's supernatural. Am I saying anything against the knowledge of understanding truth? Not at all. And I have no problem in my soul. Because the Holy Spirit's going to give us a love. I want to see this over and over. And I want to see it in this passage, in that passage. There is an unbelievable love for Scripture now. It isn't like I've got to get it so that I won't have to. No. I'm not going to have those things in my soul because the spiritual love of the Holy Spirit flowing through me, and spiritual love is not jealous. Spiritual love is content. It is not arrogant. It is not puffed up. There's so much that spiritual love does for us over here. Did you hear what I said? It does it. Just like people, here's the deal. The decision we make is to go under the natural man. From that point on, the natural man takes over then. You make a decision to go over here. From that point on, spiritual love takes on. Our obedience is just to walk in faith. That's our obedience. And same thing here. Does a person have to fall apart under stress, anxiety, and depression? No. They make a decision. Once they made a decision to go into the flesh, let me tell you something. Yeah. And the natural way you handle things is going to happen. If it's stress, anxiety, depression. Other people, it's fight or flight. They're either ready to fight or flight. Get out of there. And there are people like that. John Wayne. Just fight in an unbelievable way. So we do all of this naturally in the flesh. We do this naturally in the spirit. The spiritual love allows you to be content with who you are in Christ. See, you start with the principle, spiritual love does what? Spiritual love is living in reality. This is reality right here. Spiritual love allows you to function in reality, not in deceit. An illusion. An illusion. This is illusion over here. People, security in the world is an illusion. I pray that none of you, for a moment, think that we can create a world where terrorists can't do what they did on September the 11th. If you do, you live in an illusion. It's not the real world. Being in control is an illusion. Never in control. Satan's in control, God's in control. For us to be in control is an illusion that we've come content with. This is not reality. This is an illusion. Sin, justice, law, work, leading up to stress, anxiety, depression, the whole thing, Satan's lie. An illusion. This is reality. Spiritual love causes you to be content because spiritual love is reality. Jealousy and envy, the love of self, cannot see reality and therefore ignores truth. People, this is why when we live in the flesh and do not set our mind and our thinking to the things above, this is what the flesh is going to do. It can't see reality. The flesh is what? A deceitful above all things. That's a powerful statement. But that's going on inside of us when we walk here. Because it seems so very real that it's your fault that I'm falling apart. That it's your fault I'm having a temper tantrum. It's your fault I hurt. It's your fault that I can't handle this. It's your fault I'm angry at you. It's your fault I'm jealous. It's your fault. Whatever it is, no. It's the weather's fault. Why are you so down today? The weather. Oh, the weather came down and made you do that. Made you feel that way. It's all the weather's fault. It's a decision. Seattle. Suicide capital of the world, the United States. The weather. Do you know that I have met people live in Seattle, they are always happy. They love it. Unbeliever, unbeliever. They love it. I don't know how they could love it. I love this man. They couldn't get a tan, so I don't know how they could love it. Okay. But they love it. They could. Make a decision, people. People hurt me? No. You made a decision. Again, I'm not justifying what they're doing. I'm talking about you and me. What can we do when other people do what they do? What do we want to do? We want to get over here in the realm of reality. And that's what spiritual love will allow you to do. Now, spiritual love and reality. Spiritual love in the soul turns on the light of reality. It turns on the light of the things above. Spiritual love is not afraid of reality. Spiritual love is not afraid of reality. What happens over here? People, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if my body's going to get well or not. I don't know if my husband's going to leave me or not. I don't know if my wife's going to leave me or not. I don't know what the children are going to do. I don't know if my child's going to shoot me or not. I don't know what's going to happen. This is fear with all of the uncertainties, which bring about fear, which brings about what? I want to be in control. If I don't know what this person or persons are going to do, that means I'm weak, that means I'm out of control, so I got to gain control. Some way, I got to gain control. And that's the game we play inside of ourselves. And all this gives rise to sad, stress, anxiety, depression in our soul. So spiritual love is not afraid of reality, because this is reality. Things above. Jealousy, envy, the flesh, blind as to reality. Secondly, spiritual love allows you to be content with who and what you are in Christ. And what you have in Christ. Remember, who you are in Christ. Who you are in Jesus Christ. This is reality. And spiritual love allows you to be content with who you are in Christ. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to work up all of this stuff. You're totally content with who you are in Jesus Christ. The fullness and satisfaction of your life and people that allows you to be content with what you have in Christ. I'm amazed that people have wonderful things if we just look at them, but they're not content. Husband not content with the wife. Wife not content with the husband. Parents not content with the children. Children not content with the home. People not content with this. People not content with that. Not content with a job. Not content with these types of things. Just not content. And you are who you are in Christ. You're living over here. You're content with what you have in Christ. You're content with it. But this is what spiritual love allows you to be. It allows you to be content with these things that you and I have. Okay, any question on this? Because we're going to travel in various perspectives this way. And it'll be a little while before we get to this point in our study. We have to get everybody up to where you and I are here. But these are the kinds of things that we're going to be dealing with. Okay. Outside of hormones, then we're all together on this and kind of seeing what's going on in our study. Okay, let's close in order, Pat. Wow, what kind of God you are, Father. You're so aware, Father, of the weakness of our flesh and how the flesh is going to just twist us up, keep us off balance all the time. And so, Heavenly Father, you didn't correct that. You just created us a new being in Christ. And all we have to do is make a decision of faith to live who we are in Christ, to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, a contentment with our husbands, our wives, a contentment with ourselves, the way we look, who and what we are. What an awesome God you are, Father. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.